Hello.
And you're very welcome to another edition of The Others, the Alan Kinsella podcast, where I look at small parties, groups and independents that have contested Irish elections over the years. This week it's the turn of Padraig Cowan and the Vanguard movement, a left-wing movement founded by Cowan in the mid-40s, and we'll also look at Cowan's career and his elections, his time in Labour, Clonmacnoise, and as an independent TD as well. Thanks to everybody who subscribed to the podcast. If you haven't done so, please do. And of course, share episodes on social media and if you like them and so on. Thanks too to those who've subscribed to the Patreon. It's patreon.com/electionlit. If you want to contact me, I'm electionlit on Twitter, Irish Political Ephemera on Facebook, IrishElectionLiterature@gmail.com and IrishElectionLiterature.com is the website. Thanks. Padraig Cowan was born on the 23rd of October 1903 in Lacan, Ballina, County Cavan. His father, Thomas, was a farm labourer. As a teenager, he took part in the War of Independence as a member of the Ballinlough Company and of the Cavan Brigade of the IRA prior to arrest and imprisonment. He spent time in Crumlin Road Jail for 13 months. And then when he was released, he supported the Anglo-Irish Treaty and joined the new Free State Army. So he was one of the IRA people who joined the, who was pro-treaty. He served in the army until 1931. And resigned when he resigned, and he then trained to become became a solicitor. And all the while, he was very active in GAA in Westmeath, becoming the chairman of the county board, I think it was. Well, apparently, he was wonderful at organization and so on, and putting structure on things, and under his his chairmanship and leadership, Westmeath reached their only ever All-Ireland, or Westmeath reached their only ever Leinster hurling final and won junior football titles as well. So he was very, I think Cusack Park got built in Mullingar also. So he was it was through the GAA, I suppose, that he showed his organisational ability. He got involved with a crowd called Sarah Era in Cork, which I think Sean McBride was also involved in the early 30s. He supposedly supported the Blue Shirts before joining Republican Congress, the short-lived Republican Congress movement. And in 1936, he joined the Labour Party. Now, Republican Congress, of course, sought to achieve an independent revolutionary leadership for the working class and working farmers towards the overturn in Ireland of British imperialism and its ally, Irish capitalism, and to organise and consolidate the Republican of Ireland on the basis of the possession and administration of by the workers and working farmers of the land, instruments of production, distribution and exchange. The desire to revive and foster the Irish language, culture and games was also included in the Republican Congress Manifesto. So some of the ideas that were part of the Vanguard movement that he fronted were already in, were already out there in his time in Republican Congress. He joined the Labour Party in the mid-30s, and he joined the party when its policies were at their most radical. In February 1936, the party adopted a constitution that called for a system of government based upon the public ownership by the people of all essential sources of wealth and the organisation of essential industries. on the basis of public ownership and democratic control. In short, the establishment in Ireland of a workers' republic. He stood in the 1937 general election in Meath, Westmeath for Labour, polling 2,160 votes. Again in 1938, polling 4,621. In 1943, where he polled 3,983. And 1944, where he polled 3,961 votes. Now, the Workers' Republic Constitution of 1936 from the Labour Party and its commitments to a Workers' Republic was removed at the party's annual conference in April 1939. It had attracted the ire of the hierarchy and so on, and a lot of Labour's time was spent downplaying or saying they weren't communists, they were Christian, and mixing in encyclicals and so on. As Niamh Purcell put it in her book on the Labour Party, the right-wing press and the Catholic Church were infinitely stronger than the left inside or outside the Labour Party. However, in the early 40s, the Communist Party of Ireland disbanded after the USSR entered, the Soviet Union entered the Second World War. And it continued in the north of Ireland, but its southern members were instructed to join the Labour Party. Big Jim Larkin returned, and others. So a lot of radicals rejoined the Labour Party in the hope of changing it. And of course, in 1944, you had, it was part of the cause of the split between Labour and the ITGWU and the formation of the National Labour Party. You had attacks from the National Labour Party about Labour being communist, being socialists and everything, as well as, you know, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. So Labour were in right trouble. But there was, without the communists, with Labour kind of trying to rid itself of a lot of far left voices. So there were a lot of radicals that, you know, with the Republican Congress gone, Labour, a lot of people radicalised, I suppose, by the Spanish Civil War, by the Second World War, everything. And there was no room in Labour for them. And hence, that was one of the reasons why Cowan started Vanguard. So this is from August 1944. A statement issued yesterday by Captain Pather Cowan, until recently associated with the Irish Labour Party, announced the formation of an organisation named the Vanguard to end capitalism in Ireland, establish a socialist republic and undo British conquest. Termination of hostilities, says the statement, will see the formation of a federated or League of European Socialist Republics, and that as a socialist republic member, we will have the power to break the political connection with the British Empire and abolish partition. It is added that the Vanguard will be organised on democratic centralism, every member required to obey the orders of the leaders. The statement is signed by Captain Pather Cowan on behalf of the organising committee, whose names are not given. So he wants Ireland to be part of an international socialist federation. And that's the way to end partition. And also the atmosphere of anti-communism and so on meant that Cowan was the only one to sign the letter. And in September 1944, new Socialist Party's policy. Captain Pather Cowan's solicitor explained the programme of his new socialist republican movement, the Vanguard, to about 60 people in the Engineers' Hall, Dawson Street, last night. After his address, members were enrolled and subscriptions taken. Captain Cowan said that it was not part of the organising committee's idea to form a new party, but it was part of their idea, by propaganda and by activity in Labour Party branches and elsewhere, to lead the working classes and the working farmers to a socialist republic. A crisis had developed in the Labour Party last year. It had been attacked from without and within, and the attack from within succeeded because the rank and file did not understand the foundations on which the party had been founded by Connolly. Expulsions had been carried out at the behest of a secret religious organisation they had to face, but face it they must. These people, he said, are so powerful that they control all the senior appointments in the state, and they control the political parties. One of the functions of this new organisation will be to get hold of the secret religious organisations and destroy it. Mr. D. O'Reilly presided. The attendants included Mr. John Ireland, John de Courcy Ireland, Mr. Frank Edwards, Mr. R.N. Tweedy, Mr. Thomas Johnson, Mr. A. Heron, and Mr. P.J. Cairns. So it's the Knights of Columbanus that he has issue with. So the Liam Mellows branch of the Labour Party in Cork was disbanded, which led to the foundation of the Cork Socialist Party, which I covered in another episode. And in Dublin, I think it was the Dublin Central branch of the Labour Party was disbanded also, again, because they were seen as too radical and so on. And again, it was supposedly at the behest of the Knights. So anyway, the vanguard was to give a home to all these people that had gone from the Labour Party and other parties as well. At this stage, of course, Cowan had resigned from the Labour Party. However, there were still one or two Labour members in the vanguard. And of course, the National Labour Party were only too happy to exploit this. Speaking at a National Labour Party delegate conference at Shillelagh, Mr. James Everett TD said, according to a supplied report, that the Labour Party's attitude to the new communist organisation, the Vanguard, showed how helplessly the party leaders were caught in the communist web. It was not only their duty to declare that no party member could be a member of the Vanguard, but it was also a great opportunity of vindicating themselves, but they dared not risk offence to their communist masters. The individuals running the Vanguard were the same people who crashed into the party in 1942, founded the notorious Dublin Central branch, and caused the party constitution to be torn up. Communism was brought up in the Dáil as well by Captain Giles. Now, Captain Giles was a TD for Meath West Meath, I think, so would have been a constituency colleague of Padraig Cowan. Now, obviously, Padraig Cowan wasn't elected a TD at this stage, but he would have run against him a number of times. Captain Giles asked the Minister for Justice in the Dáil today if he was in a position to state what was the position of communism in Éire today, whether it was an active organisation and under what name it carried on its activities. Also, how many known cells there were and where they were located. Mr. Boland said, so far as there were any activities, they appeared to be carried out within the law. Any information secured by him from official channels could only be regarded as confidential. Captain Giles asked the minister whether his attention had been called to the recent launching in Dublin of an organisation called the Vanguard, having for its objects the destruction of private property and the creation of a spirit of revolt amongst the workers and working farmers, and if so, whether in view of its declared objects he would take steps to suppress the organisation. Mr. Boland said he could see nothing in the activities on this organisation which would cause him to take action to suppress it. So more unwanted publicity, I suppose, for Vanguard, the Vanguard. Needless to say, elements of the church disapproved of the Vanguard. Referring to the dangers of communism, Father O'Farrell said its strength could be fairly measured in the wreck it made of the once flourishing Labour Party. The new vanguard movement appeared to be an attempt at a Catholic communist synthesis, and it seemed necessary to make it clear that in this Catholic country there was no possibility of any kind of cooperation between Catholics and communists. So some excerpts of the circular letter addressed to the people of Ireland by the Vanguard, signed on behalf of the organising committee by Father Cowan. The present state of Ireland, the prevalence of unemployment, poverty, hunger, corruption in its various forms, racketeering, profiteering, licentiousness and crime is a serious and dangerous threat to the nation. The plight of the unemployed, of the sick, the maimed, the blind, and of the widow, the orphan, the infirm, and the old age pensioner is beyond the power of words adequately to describe. Tuberculosis and other diseases are daily taking their toll of men, women, and children, so weakened by hunger that they are unable to resist disease. In contrast to this deplorable state of affairs, we've a small minority living in luxury, controlling the whole financial and industrial mechanism of the state and enslaving the great majority of decent, honest, hard-working men and women by virtue of their financial power and the despotic economic domination they are permitted to exercise over their fellow citizens. The state is being run by and in the interests of this small, privileged and unprincipled minority, whilst the common people are forcibly kept on and below the level of starvation. The capitalist economic system is responsible for this shocking and scandalous state of affairs. Under capitalism, the implements and means of production are privately owned and production is carried on for private profit. Man is exploited by man, and the common people are held in slavery by a small, unscrupulous minority in whose interests the state itself and its machinery is operated. There is only one hope for the Irish people. Capitalism, the cause of all our social evils, must be destroyed, and with it, its agents, the financiers, racketeers, profiteers, and landlords who are the enemies of the common people. In place of capitalism, the workers and farmers must establish the socialist economic system and take control of the means and instruments of production, distribution and exchange in the public interest. The termination of hostilities will see the formation of a federation or League of European Socialist Republics that will abolish the cause of European wars and enable the peoples of Europe to develop in peace, happiness, prosperity and security. It is in our interests as a nation to establish the Socialist Republic and enter the Federation or League of European Socialist Republics, thereby ensuring national unity, security and enduring peace. Irish industry and Irish culture are to be encouraged, protected and developed, and Irish made the spoken language of the people. The Vanguard movement kind of petered out in 1945, and Cowan again rejoined the Fairview branch of the Labour Party, although he resigned in July 1946 to join Clan na Publicta, which was apparently a more suitable vehicle for his radical social principles and his strong nationalist position. Cowan was also a solicitor, and funnily enough, in Eamon Dunphy's autobiography, he explains how Dunphy's family were saved from eviction from their one room at abode on Richmond Road, Drumcondra. He explains that the Dublin solicitor, Pather Cowan, was responsible for the intervention that saved the family. So, basically, they'd been served an eviction notice that arrived from some all-powerful and anonymous landlord. She made an appointment to see Pather Cowan and arrived in the solicitor's Capel Street offices. Cowan cut an eccentric figure. This is according to Dunphy's account. McCowan cut an eccentric figure dressed in an orange sweater with sandals and baggy trousers, but he was courteous, respectfully gentle. He quickly read the eviction notice, established that the Dumpley family were up to date with their rent and that no alternative accommodation was available. He explained that the justice system was there to protect families from exploitation and immediately volunteered to represent the family free of charge in the four courts in what Dumphy considered to be the first real crisis of our lives. "Say a prayer for me," was Cowan's one demand. Cowan was professionalism personified on the day of the court. He was spruced up with a suit and tie and a proper pair of shoes. He outlined the Dumphy case, speaking quietly with real conviction. "Decent people, hard-working father, pay their rent. Boys at good local school, living at this address for more than 10 years. The presiding judge was convinced, the application for eviction refused. And Cowan had preserved for the Dumphy family a way of life that, though materially modest, was in many other ways immensely rich." Actually, Cowan was also, sorry, kind of getting into celeb here, but I think he was grandfather or granduncle of the actor Rory Cowan as well. Now, during the Second World War, a lot of IRA people were interned without trial. And at one stage there were 450 men, all members of the IRA, in various internment camps and prisons. Cowan became involved in a group called the Republican Prisoners Release Association, which was formed in Dublin. "The association has no connection with any political party, and its appeal is directed to all freedom-loving men and women who believe in the right of Ireland to be free from foreign aggression in any form." Cowan travelled the country speaking for the organisation. Now, it was assumed that at the end of the war, all the IRA people in prison would be released, but that wasn't the case. And a number actually died in hunger strike as well. But again, this is through his work as a solicitor. But actually through those, it's worth actually looking up the Sean McCaughey case. I won't go into it here. But it was through the Republican Prisoners Release Association that Cowan fell in with a lot, or got to know a lot of the people that would become that would help found Clann na Poblachta. Cowan himself, Noel Hartnett, Con Lahan, Roger McHugh, Sean O'Gotuma, Sean O'Grady, and Padge O'Donoghue were amongst them. Now, in July 1946, the founding meeting in Clann na Poblachta was held in Barry's Hotel. Cowan experienced with the GAA as an organiser, and also with, you know, having worked with the Labour Party, became the party's director of finance. And himself, Noel Hartnett, played a central role in selecting candidates and establishing constituency organisations to contest the three by-elections in 1947 and the 1948 general election. Cowan was elected as a TD for Clann na Poblachta in 1948 in Dublin North East. But, you know, the way he fell out with Sean McBride and left Clann na Poblachta a couple of months after their entry into the inter-party government. He was very supportive of Noel Brown, so he became an independent in the Dáil, and was very supportive of Noel Brown and his various plans that, of course, were dashed by the church and other people, the mother and child scheme especially. But actually, it's in his time in Clan na Publica allowed his past in Vanguard be used. Like for instance, in that 48 general election, answer please, Clan na Publica. What did Mr. Cowan mean when he said, A, the world situation today is composed of four ideologies, communism, fascism, national socialism, and the corporate state, and that the last three will disappear. B, socialism, i.e. communism, is the next development due in this country. It will only be achieved by uprising and a revolutionary movement of workers and workers' farmers. 2. Did not the Standard describe Mr. Cowan as this homemade Lenin and say, what Mr. Cowan is attempting to launch is in fact a communist organization. The manifesto is a program of class war, confiscation, and state control. So his time in Vanguard was used to attack Clan na Publica. I think it was Sean McEntee was particularly good at using all these things in election campaigns and finding the dirt. During his time as an independent TD, amongst other things that Cowan raised was abuse at Artane Industrial School. So he was way, you know, obviously he supported the mother and child scheme and things like that, but he was way ahead of his time in bringing that to notice. Now, in the 1951 general election, he held on to his seat as an independent in Dublin North East and lost his seat then in 1954, in part because he had supported the minority Fianna Fáil government and voted for De Valera for Taoiseach. It's thought that it was maybe his antipathy towards Sean McBride that led to him supporting Dev for Taoiseach rather than having anything to do with somebody backed, you know, that. Cowan's wife died, Rosemary, in October 1955. Cowan became bankrupt and had to resign his seat in Dublin Corporation. And on the 30th of August 1957, he was convicted in Dublin Central Criminal Court of the fraudulent conversion for his own use and benefit of a sum of £3,705, the property of one of his clients, James O'Reilly, a Dublin bricklayer. On the 1st of November 1957, he was sentenced to 2 years imprisonment with hard labour and was refused leave to appeal. Upon getting out, he wrote a pamphlet in there called Dungeons Deep, a book, which was pointing out the faults with the prison system that wasn't well received. Some was well received by some, but it actually showed, it had great foresight in it and illustrated some of the issues within the prison system. In 1960, he was elected to Dublin Corporation. And in 1961, he stood in the Dublin North East again in the general election, but this time polled 1,863 votes. And was well beaten for the final seats. Cowan died on the 7th of May 1962. But left quite a legacy as a politician, as a solicitor, and so on. And indeed a GAA administrator. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks to everybody who's subscribed to the podcast. If you haven't done, please do. Thanks especially to those who support the Patreon, which supports both the website and the podcast. It's patreon.com/electionlit. Thanks.